Welcome to the Conscient Conversations podcast. I'm Nigel Stevens, and in this podcast, I interview key people working in the data center, technology, and telecommunications industries. We discuss their stories and get their insights on the rapidly changing technology landscape. Welcome to Conscient Conversations podcast. Today I'm joined by Spencer Lamb, Chief Commercial Officer at KO Data Centers. Thanks for joining us today, Spencer. I appreciate your time. How are you?
Yeah, very well. And welcome to our offices in London.
Oh, thanks very much. And very nice they are too. We're here in KO's new offices, and very nice they are. Before we start, do you want to give us a quick introduction of who you are and what your role is at KO? Yeah,
absolutely. So I've had the pleasure of working in the data center sector, as it's now known, since 2006, so some 18 years. And my focus and responsibility throughout that period of time really has been on the commercial aspects of the industry. So understanding customer requirements and ensuring that the three data center companies I've worked for over those years are providing the correct and the suitable environments for the customers that we do business with. And fundamentally, that's what I do. But as the industry's evolved, it's become far broader, and the requirements that we have for customers have become more detailed, and the expectations have become far higher. And we are still, I was still classed as a young industry, but we do need to grow up. And I think we are starting to grow up. But it's really in our responsibility to ensure that happens. And the industry now is moving away from being a cottage industry in sheds, in people's backyards, if that makes sense, and now evolving into becoming something far more important and certainly far more visible than it ever has been in the past.
And if you compare that, the way things were maybe 10 years ago to where they are now, what would you see those big milestones were that caused big changes in what's been happening?
I think the market began in kind of the post 9/11 scenario, because, and also that was combined with organizations whose IT footprint was getting larger and had historically and traditionally housed that infrastructure within their office footprint. So the combination of risk and scale and size and the requirements getting larger and larger meant that putting trading platform servers in banks, buildings in Canary Wharf and the Docklands were no longer appropriate. Therefore, the market began with a need to find suitable and, at the time, large-scale data center facilities within close proximity to London, but in environments that were far more secure and also able to provide the suitable mechanical and electrical infrastructure to support those critical server applications. Okay. And then I suppose the next stepping stone really was milestone was when the large US-based cloud providers entered into the market in Europe, which would have been really, I guess, 2014, 2015. And then since then, we've seen a huge increase in demand, which is really set to challenge the infrastructure within UK, but also across EMEA countries as well. I think we're all having the same challenges. And then now, most recently, is clearly the AI requirements, which are compounding the problem that the cloud has already, I suppose, uncovered.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And where do you, I mean, I think you probably just answered the question slightly. I was going to say, where do you think it's going next, particularly in the UK?
I think that the UK, well, first of all, what I think is that we've never had a plan. So there's no UK-wide strategy. Everything's been driven by data center organizations like us who are seeking suitable locations for data center development within the geographical requirements of where our customers want to be. And that's all accidentally happened, and it kind of accidentally happened west of London. And through that, three locations have been kind of carved out to create the region. Within that region, there's these three availability zones. And over the last 10 years, since cloud computing landed, the requirement, the demand from the enterprise customers who buy those services has then resulted in the big cloud providers deploying far more service infrastructure, which demands more power, and therefore the west of London three locations have now sucked dry of power. Therefore, we need to look further afield. And then to compound the problem further, AI has landed and the GPUs, the GPU servers are even more power hungry, threefold than the traditional CPU cloud servers. So we can't put any more cloud computing into those locations. It's very hard to do so. And so we certainly can't put the GPU requirements into those locations either. So my view is that the, you know, with the growth in the industry, with the demand that we're seeing from the companies that want to buy those AI type server applications, for us to be a relevant country in the future, we need to then have a plan of where we put these data centers across the country. And the government's involvement in that would be helpful from a planning perspective, and also educating the local authorities across the country as to what data centers do, how they can benefit their local economy. Ultimately, over the last 10 years or so, the West of London has seen tens of billions of pounds of private investment within those geographies. We should be distributing that private investment across the country into locations which really need it, and also have the land in brownfield sites and also the power infrastructure that's available to support it.
So, I mean, I think that this view of this clustering that we had, and it was quite dense clustering, particularly in the, as you say, in the west of London, and right coming away from that seems to be a healthy change, and it's probably a healthy change driven by power availability and a number of other factors. And so in, from a KO point of view, what how has that sort of manifested itself?
So we've gone further afield, which is, you know, in our industry is quite bold. And in doing so, we've acquired land in Greater Manchester in Stockport for the development of a 40 megawatt data centre, which now is considered quite small. Last year, it was considered about the right size. And we've embarked on the freehold acquisition, subsequent planning application, planning approval with the local authority, working with the local community to educate them on what a data centre is, that it's not some scary monolithic block that sucks all the power and all the water in the local community away from them, that it's actually beneficial and can support the local economy. And demolition work started on the site this 2 weeks ago, when we had the pleasure of hosting Andy Burnham at the facility.
Yeah. Fantastic, yeah. And just changing tack a second, what about sustainability? I see a lot in the press now, and there's a lot of pressure on data. Power hungry data centers using up all the power. How's that affecting the industry, do you think?
There's no getting away from it. Data centers consume a lot of energy, and that is a fact. I think what people probably don't appreciate is that historically, when everything was distributed in people's offices, servers were still consuming computing power. Servers were still computing, were still consuming a great deal of energy. The reality is, these centralizing these in these facilities, these buildings, means that we're creating far more efficient environments for the compute to be housed within and operated within. The reality, though, is that there will always be a big power draw, and we need to think a creative way of providing energy to these data centres that isn't reliant upon the national grid. And this is true in other European countries as well, who have similar ageing power infrastructure, certainly those in the north of Europe, such as Germany. So we see this distribution of the data centres across the country as an opportunity to work alongside the renewable energy development industry, because in effect we could develop a data center and we can underpin the commercial model for a renewable energy scheme adjacent to our data center. We will commit to all the energy they produce over the lifetime of their scheme. Therefore, we potentially take the burden of the power away from the grid. We create a new business or a new part of a business with this renewable energy plant, whether it be solar or wind. We also create battery storage to store the energy in the event of the wind or the solar not working or not producing any electrons. So I think there's a really good opportunity for, again, the government to get more involved in this, to not only enable the data center industry to flourish, but also our green energy ambitions as well across the country for the benefit of all.
So thanks, Ben. So that's a very good segue, actually, into the government's recent announcement on critical national infrastructure. How do you think that's going to affect things?
I welcome it. I know that there's others in our industry that probably don't feel the same way. I think the industry has been guilty of hiding below the parapet for many years now, and that probably possibly doesn't quite like the visibility that we're now getting. I think it's critical that we do get that visibility. Without it, we're not going to get the things done that we need to get done, and we won't be taken seriously. We'll also be perceived suspiciously, and we need to start controlling the narrative about what we do and how important it is to everyone that lives within the UK and how reliant everyone is on these data centre facilities. So the critical national infrastructure elevation, if you like, for data centres is hugely important and something of a milestone in our maturity as the industry evolves. I believe it will give us the opportunity to start lobbying government far more confidently and for them to take us more seriously. Ultimately, we're alongside hospitals, banks, etc., with regard to the importance that the services that we provide and the buildings that we curate, in effect, within the country are allocated as. So I see it as an obvious step, but also a necessary step in the industry's evolution. Looking forward to being involved in the first part of the lobbying process, and I think they're going to be held every 3 months, and then understanding what it is we're going to be, I suppose, adjudicated with, and how they're going to consider the suitability of facilities. But personally, I'm looking forward to getting involved in it, and then putting forward our recommendations. So things like, why is 90% of the cloud computing within 15 miles of itself, west of London? Because ultimately, governments, cloud services, and enterprise cloud services are delivered from that geography for the whole of the UK in the main. So you've got to question that and think, actually, you know, the critical national infrastructure team may be a little curious as to the ability of this country to have a resilient cloud platform to support our services across the board.
And presumably also very important for the prosperity of the country, and for generating business and bringing it to the UK.
Yeah, absolutely. And when people, I mean, if you go to other countries, Germany and France, for example, similar GDPs, similar populations, they have two defined regions within their country. Germany has Berlin and Frankfurt, France has Paris and Marseille. We really only have London, and we are very guilty as a nation for everything being based around London. And that does need to change. The problem has been compounded with the power, so it's now is the time. But also from a kind of UK PLC compute resilience viewpoint, we need to do something about it. So looking forward to that.
Yeah. If you could get the industry or people working in the industry to either start doing something or stop doing something, what do you think those things might be?
Collaborating more would be the key, I think. Obviously, we're all commercial entities, we're competitors, and obviously that means that we are trying to outdo one another to some extent. But I think we need to realise that unless we start working together, we're not going to be able to do what we need to do to grow our businesses and achieve the results for our shareholders, which is ultimately what we're here to, the outcome that we need to achieve. So. Collaborating, working alongside one another, and also challenging our customers in where they need to put this compute. You know, they have driven the location requirements. Everyone's been scurrying around trying to find the last megawatt in Slough for the last sort of 18 months, 2 years. Maybe we should stop doing that and looking further afield and working with each other to achieve it.
Yeah. And then, what's the biggest lesson you think you've learned? You've been in this for a lot longer than me, actually, a long, long time in the industry. So what's the biggest lesson that you've learned?
Many. many, many lessons. I personally, working in the industry has been a real pleasure because I've had the opportunity to work in this kind of startup, scale-up environment. This is the third data centre company I've done it in, so I've managed to learn all those things over the years across all different functions within a business that I couldn't have done if I worked for a large corporate, which has been a real pleasure. And I don't think you can achieve through going to university or educating yourself on it. So from that respect, it's been fascinating. I've learned an awful lot about engineering, which I never thought I would do, which again has been very interesting. And I know I upset my engineering colleagues with ridiculous ideas. I think I'm dangerous enough now to have enough knowledge about it. The importance of maintenance as well, you know, looking after things and making sure that you do curate the facilities correctly, which also bleeds into your own personal life as well. I think it's a good outcome. Finance, the world of finance is something that was always a mystery, but I've been dragged into it more and more often, and the type of money is hugely important to how you can then execute your business plan, and working with the shareholder community, going through fundraisers and that sort of thing has been again a healthy exercise and a healthy education. So I've seen the data center, my experience within the data center industry, and that enabling me to personally flourish through my career, but also learn a great deal of things on that journey, which have been a big education.
Fantastic. You're naturally a modest guy, but what is your proudest achievement to date, would you say?
I think being part of an organisation, seeing that what you do has a material impact on the outcome of that business, which again goes back to not being particularly keen on working with large corporates because you can't see that. That's probably been the biggest thing when I look back at them now, which I feel that I've achieved. I guess, but also certainly with KO Data, but also when I was at Verne Global, and then at the previously Infinity, really getting a head start and starting to understand the AI and the high performance computing market and industry and how these guys go about what they do. And then structuring the first government framework for the purchasing of colocation services to house that type of infrastructure, which was probably about 10, 11 years ago now. And that's really put me in good stead to understand this AI journey that we're all now on and the difference in the type of compute it requires and therefore the mechanical infrastructure that we need to deploy to support it. Understanding what your customer does is really critical, and I think at times the industry is very guilty of not doing that. We have our feet in two camps, which is real estate and technology, which are very polar opposite of one another. In real estate, it's, you know, precedents have been set over centuries. The legal paperwork has no sentences, it's all in capital letters, doesn't really make a great deal of sense, and you're dealing with bureaucracy through planning on a regular basis, and also the real estate community, no disrespect to them. And then the polar opposite of that is the world of technology, which is advancing so quickly and evolving so quickly, and therefore our customers who we're facilitating for do not fathom and cannot understand why things take so long when you're trying to build a building to support their requirements. So understanding that dichotomy has been a good experience, but that's the value that we provide, in effect. I mean, that's what we do.
And I think I've noticed, certainly, that KO has been very good at being at the forefront of things. You guys were talking about and investing in HPC, for example, before the AI revolution that we've seen in the last, particularly 18 months. What led you to think to do that?
Ultimately, looking at the facilities that we had and their relevance to the customers that we wanted to target.
Yeah.
So trying to sell a data center that isn't in a allocated cloud region to a cloud customer isn't the most sensible thing to do. So we looked at our Harlow campus with its proximity and location within the UK Innovation Corridor between London and Cambridge. There are 50 science parks within that geography doing hugely creative and interesting things with AI and HPC. So it seemed like a sensible thing to set a go-to-market strategy for that particular location to start talking to those people to understand how they're doing with the large clusters that they're deploying, and wouldn't they like to put it in a state-of-the-art data center facility?
Well, Spencer, this has been a great conversation. Thanks very much. I think before we just wrap up today, I'd love to know what the sort of next steps are for KO.
So we've embarked on our expansion in the UK. We're developing in Manchester, and we're now taking the KO Data blueprint, if you like, across to Europe. Locations in Amsterdam, Berlin, Frankfurt, Madrid and Barcelona at a various stages of their evolution from a site acquisition perspective. Some are more advanced than others, but that's part of what we call our 7-dot strategy. And we're looking to take our capability and our AI experience into those geographies. To some extent, because our customers are asking us to do so. So it's a pleasurable position to be in, to have that confidence from our customer base that they not only enjoying their experience in our UK data centres, but want to do the same with us in countries in Europe.
Well, that's fantastic. Thanks again. Thanks for the chat. Really enjoyed it, and wish you and Kayo every success in the future.
My pleasure, Nigel. Thank you very much.